Welcome to the show known as Conversations with Ralph Walker. How you doing today out there? How was your New Year's? How did you bring it in? I know you probably sat down and watched a little television and in Pasadena, you know, every year they have this exciting event that rolls down Colorado known as the Tournament of Roses Parade. There's a fabulous floats that go down. There's a one float that's very particular, and it has the Queen and the Royal Court. I know you're probably wondering, come on, Ralph, what is the show going to be about? But I'm honored to have here in the studio Drew Helen Washington. How you doing today?
Good, how are you?
I should have said Queen. And I'm here with her father, Mr. Craig Washington.
Excellent, good to be here.
All right, how are you doing today?
I'm doing quite well, quite well.
Got to be a proud dad with that grin that you have from day to day.
Beyond proud. It's been an ecstatic and exciting moment, exciting time for me and our family.
All right, tell the viewers out there why.
Well, I would say why, because this has been a moment that that being in Pasadena for over 50 years, and our daughter born and raised in Pasadena, it's been an opportunity for us to share the long tradition of Pasadena, and to have our family come together and have not only our family but our family of the community. We're long deep in the community, and the community has stepped up and showed a tremendous support and a tremendous wealth of confidence in what Drew has been able to do.
And friends that you know you never had. Right?
Oh, friends,
they
uncles,
popped
and aunts.
Up from all over.
Everybody wants to meet a friend.
Yeah, she's got a lot of newfound uncles and aunts.
All right, to the viewers that's just tuning in, share what was that accomplishment?
Well, I mean, the accomplishment was there was 1,000 young ladies that tried out through the Pasadena Community College District area that were vying for a position that is very unique and very special. Drew being of the character and personality of her making, I knew that she had an opportunity to make it to the finals.
Well, most dads would say
I knew she had an opportunity to make it to the finals. I mean, but the finals were made up of, you know, 35.
But wait, let's back it up. How did it come about? I mean, she didn't just wake up one day and say, "Hey, I want to be on the Tournament of Roses Parade. I want to be a queen. I want to be on the Royal Court." What was the?
Well, I guess it goes into dynamics, and you're deeping down in her upbringing. Drew was fortunate to have family members that have supported her from youth. When I say that from youth, we feel the very first 10 years of her life were very important. She attended public schools initially in her life. We wanted to get her a well-rounding experience of the community. She had the support of her dad taking her to sporting events, taking her to her events, taking her to movies.
All right, some dad is out there probably, but she a girl. What events did you take her to?
No, I took
her. We went to lots. I think he wanted a little boy, actually, to be honest.
We basketball games predominantly. Had good friends that were college coaches at the time, so at UCLA specifically.
What's their name?
Michael Holton. Okay. Michael Holton, I think he'd be proud to know that. He was an assistant coach at the time. And so at that time, I was fortunate to be able to attend a lot of those games, and Drew was my tag along.
So Drew, how did you feel about this?
It was great. I had always known from when I was a little girl he probably wanted a boy, because he would take me to all the basketball events. He would always encourage me to play sports. So one of my fondest memories actually is going to the UCLA basketball games, like you said, when I was younger. And I used to play with the Bruin Bear. I used to go down. We had courtside seats, and I used to go down on the court and dance around with the Bruin Bear all the time. And I loved watching. And that's actually what got me involved in sports, was going to all the sporting events with my dad. We went to Laker games, USC games, UCLA games, anything, you name it.
All right. Now, some of you out there may be asking, you're the only one in the family?
I am. I'm an only child.
Oh, God. Spoiled to the hilt. You've been a princess all your life, huh? A queen, too, on top of that. All right, Dad. So let's propel. How do we go from to Tournament of Roses? I mean, what's that leap? What's that connection? Who came home with this idea? Whose idea was it?
Well, I mean, it's as young ladies that come through Pasadena.
Yes.
Every young lady that comes through Pasadena gets an opportunity to try out. So how does it come to our family? Well, we thought that Drew would be an excellent role model for the tournament. We thought she'd be an excellent role model for the community. She said through her own mentoring standpoint, a young lady by the name of Katie Hernandez, who introduced her when she was a freshman entering Flint Ridge Sacred Heart. Katie was also a princess on the royal court.
Wow.
And so that was a young lady that drew very close attraction to. They both were on the same track team together. So from that mentorship that Drew received, that was kind of her eye-opening experience to say, wow, this is something, and this is a young lady who I'd like to model myself after. So I think I'll take that leap.
So what was the characteristics in her that made you say, wow, she's good?
It's actually a really funny story how Katie Hernandez and I met. My first day of freshman year in school, she was a junior and I was a freshman. And I'm thinking to myself, she's an upperclassman. There's right. no way she's going to talk to me. So I walk, and of course, I'm a freshman, can't open my locker, have no idea where my classes are. And she comes up to me with her backpack, and she's rushing to class, and she says, you look lost. Do you need help? Wow. What room are you going to? Where's your locker? I'll get your locker open for you. And that was a big eye-opener to me because yeah. she's an upperclassman and she wasn't supposed to be
right,
talking to
right,
me.
Right.
And so we really kind of grew closer. She became kind of my mentor, kind of my big sister on campus, helped me out adjusting to high school athletics as well. We were on
what
the
was the biggest challenge?
The biggest challenge of going
making
to high school.
Making that adjustment. What was the adjustment part that sort of had you like, what am I doing here?
I think the biggest adjustment was because I was so young as a freshman, and I'm younger than all of the kids in my grade as well. I'm a year younger. Was going to school with 18-year-olds because I was 13 years old going in as my freshman year of high school, and I was at school with 18-year-olds, and they were so much more mature than I was, so much older, had so much more experience with high school and talking to people and public speaking. So I think that was one of my biggest challenges, was getting acclimated to an older age group.
So you really were blessed to have someone take you up under their wings.
I was. She taught me the ropes of everything, and she got me really involved within the school community, doing clubs, leadership, sports, and she was the captain of the varsity track and field team. And then when she graduated, I took on her role as well. So I kind of felt like I was always following in her footsteps. And so when she was on the royal court of the Tournament of Roses, her senior year, my sophomore year, I really stuck close with her.
Yes.
Didn't get to see her much because her time was very occupied.
Right.
But she told me what she was doing, and she would tell me the stories about the girls, tell me the stories about all the events that the court went on. And I thought that that was a really cool thing to be able to do. And so I knew that I wanted to try out because of the impact that she had on my life. She was such a great person, such a great role model in my life, and I wanted to do the same for other girls.
So now, did you come home and say, hey, Dad, I got an application. I want to try out for this.
No, actually, it's just kind of a thing in Pasadena. All the girls try out. So once I started my senior year in September, my mom actually came home and said, okay, so when are we going shopping for your outfit? And I said, what outfit? She says, oh, royal court tryouts that are coming up in a week. And so,
very confident family.
It was. And I said, okay. So we went shopping for a dress, and we got ready for tryouts, and I went with a couple of my
friends. Now, did you really take it that serious?
I did. Of course, the first time, I went with a couple of friends, just wanted to try out. I didn't really think I was going to get anywhere far in it. And as I kept getting called back and getting called back, I took it more and more
seriously. Dad, what were you thinking about all of this?
Was the because they interviewed roughly once a week. Mm-hmm. Once a week they interviewed. And I would wait, you know, to hear back and say, okay, there's a cut. They cut from 1,000 down to 250.
All right, let's back it up even farther. If someone's out there listening right now, mm-hmm. where would they find the application at? Do you have to be a resident of Pasadena?
Yes, I do.
Well, it goes a little broader than just Pasadena. They call it the Pasadena Area College District.
All right.
Which that college district represents San Marino, Arcadia, as broad as San Gabriel.
Monrovia,
not quite. Does not reach to Monrovia. Once again, the Pasadena Area College District.
Attend Pasadena City College, would you qualify?
Pasadena City College, yes, you would qualify because there is an age requirement, and that age requirement moves up to, I believe it's 19. So there can be a 19-year-old attending
Pasadena College.
And it
starts at what age?
You have to be 17 by January 1.
By December 31st. By December 31st.
So Drew was 16 when she was selected.
So now, does every high school get applications to try out for this, or is it word of mouth? Or
it's more of a word of mouth based thing.
Okay.
The Tournament of Roses and the committee, the Queen and Court Committee, they come to the schools within the area. They have a meeting at school, and they encourage girls to try out. And what you do is you go and you sign up online. There's no application fee, or there's no application really at all. You just register that you're coming to try out. So you register your name, your school, your age, and you come on down and you try out, and they give you a number.
That simple.
That simple.
So you Your mom goes and, well, you both go out, and like mother and daughter, you both go pick out an outfit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to try out for this.
Yes.
And what was your lucky number?
I was number 265.
Do you keep that number through the whole process?
You do, and I still have that number.
265.
265.
All right.
Very special number now.
265.
Maybe my new favorite number.
All right. So what was the first day like? I tried out and...
The first day of tryouts.
Yes.
The first day of tryouts was actually a pretty big blur. The first tryout, you're actually only given 15 seconds, and you're not asked a question. So you just walk up, and you start talking, and you get cut off if you want to go past 15 seconds. And so I walked up there, and to this day, I probably still couldn't tell you what I said. My mind went completely black. I was completely nervous.
Do you know what the subject may have been?
I do. I remember talking because I'd practiced before, and I remember talking about why I wanted to be on the Tournament of Roses and what the Tournament of Roses symbolized within the Pasadena community.
All right, Dad, did you practice with?
Well, no. Did not practice.
Oh, you're in the background. So it's mom and daughter, and then you show up and get most of the credit now.
I gave her the boost to get there.
Oh, okay. So what do you think mama's thinking right now? Mama's at home now?
She is.
And Dad's sitting in the chair. So what was the story she told you when she came home? That particular day.
Do you
recall?
Yeah, well, that particular day, she talked about how, you know, so many of people were there. How many, not only people, when I say people, because they were young men that actually tried out in the process.
Is that new?
That is not new. That is not new.
Men always try out.
Years, there are anywhere between 15 to 20 young men that try out. And the reason that they try out is because they're seeking a ticket to the Royal Ball. Every young lady or every participant that tries out receives a ticket to the Royal Ball. The Royal Ball is an event that's put on by the Tournament of Roses.
Okay.
Basically a dance.
Didn't know that.
And it's given to all of the participants who try out. And so it's a very, you know, there's over 1,000, 2,000, you know, high schoolers that attend this event. So that's why the young men try out, because they want to secure a ticket in case one young lady doesn't invite them.
How clever.
So from that standpoint there, she said, wow, we've got all kind of characters that come try out. So it was like, well, yeah, Drew, I guess out of, you know, 1,000 people, you're going to get all types. So I said, you have 15 seconds, you couldn't say much, and obviously they could only look at your poise, your presence,
and how,
you walk up and what you said. I mean, not what you said, but how you said it. How you said it. So from that standpoint there, we'll see if they invite you back.
So you went to bed that night thinking what, Drew?
Thinking I blew it. I had no idea. I went to bed and I hoped for the best. They told me that they would let me know within a week. They send emails. So I was just waiting for that email. And
now,
I remember.
Now, did you exchange any conversation with a friend or someone you met there? Hey, how you doing? And
I did. We all talked. We actually all went out to breakfast after, and we all talked about the experience, because we were at the tournament house for about an hour. The entire process took about an hour. And we talked about, well, what did you say? What did you say? Who did you see? And it was just really funny, because no one really remembered what they said for that 15 seconds, because everyone was so nervous. Their minds kind of blacked out, and no one really could tell me what exactly they said, but it was a great experience, because it's not every day that you can get up in front of a group of 12 different people who are strangers and who you don't know and present yourself accordingly. So it was a really different experience for a lot of girls, too. But it was really fun, and I learned a lot.
All right, Mr. Greg Washington, father of the Queen, Drew. You know, in competition, you size up the competitors, and then you sort of say, wow, I think she has a chance. Or you say, she might be over her head. What did you think?
Well, in the first wave, I call it the first interviews,
yes.
I felt, okay, you may have a chance. And I knew that, the appearance that she had, a particular dress, and just through from what I've heard from other parents and other court members, that they want to maintain that dress. You want to wear the same outfit through the process. That's a little tip that was given. It's given probably to a lot of the girls.
Okay.
So that, because they're not given their names. They're not given their schools.
Yes, number 268.
Just number 265.
265. Let me get it right.
265.
That is a historical number at the Tournament of Roses, right?
Yes.
From here on, which is amazing. So you follow that tip, or mom and daughter follow the tip, and you're echoing the story, right?
echoing the story of the tip, and says, "Well, if you presented yourself well, I think you're going to get a call back. I think you're presentable enough to get cut down to the 250."
Okay. So what did mom and husband talk about when she wasn't around? What did you talk about?
Well, her mom was probably a little more confident than I was in this process. I mean, she is, as you said, we've been in the city for a long time. We've seen a number of young ladies come through, and obviously we're partial to our daughter, but we were trying to be impartial and compare. And she felt that, you know, Drew has a good shot to make it to the finals. I said, we'll see. She has to, you know, obviously show up every time. The observation process, I'm sure, is more than just that 15 seconds or that 1 minute of interviewing time. If you're there an hour and a half, I'm sure you're being observed through that time.
So you had never attended any other event before associated with the picking the queen?
I had been to prior queen selections.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I've been to prior queen selections as well as royal court selections.
Okay.
So I was able to see the emotion and the experience of other young ladies.
So you was in a little familiar territory then, huh?
Yeah, a little bit.
Like a fighter walking around the ring and sort of knowing the turf in a sense?
I kind of had a little understanding.
Oh,
a little understanding.
Okay.
So, from that standpoint there, I said that, well, she's measurable. She's measurable to the young ladies that are there.
Did you ever sense her nervousness or maybe self-doubt?
There was a time, and I probably was probably in the third round of the interviewing process. They presented her with a question that she thought was quite challenging, because the questions are impromptu, on the spot. The young ladies do not know what the questions are.
Sort of like Ralph Walker hosting the show, huh?
thus thinking on your feet.
Can you recall it?
Yes, I can. I think I can piece that question together. I think it had to do with, if your friends were to place you on a magazine, who would it be?
Oh, wow.
If your friends were to place you on a magazine, who would it be?
What would it be?
So it gets into that question as to how do you view yourself?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what do you believe of yourself, and how
like
do you
mirror.
visualize yourself? And her question was, you know, not anything I thought was outlandish or difficult, but she thought it was.
But tricky.
Very tricky.
But tricky.
Very, very tricky. So she said, oh, Dad, I had to hesitate for a moment. Matter of fact, I had
self-thought.
Self-thought. A lot of self-thought and questioning of, okay, what is the person? Who is that person that I present to them?
So who was the person?
I said 17 Magazine, because an empowering magazine for young women.
Very good.
Thank you.
Very good.
I remember through my mind when I first got asked that question, the first thing I thought was, my mother reads magazines all the time, and how can I not think of a name of any magazine right now?
Drawing that blank.
Yeah. Going out blank, I couldn't think of a single name. And once the name started coming back, I said, oh, well, what do I say? Do I say Time Magazine? Do I say Elle Magazine? And I was thinking, and of course, the questions are impromptu, and I'm standing in a room by myself, so I can't sit there and wonder for hours. So that's kind of the first magazine that came to my mind, and I kind of just went with it.
All right, we're going to get back to that and take a slight break, and then we're going to move right on, okay?
All right.
If you just tune in, the show is Conversations with Ralph Walker. Don't touch that dial. We're interviewing the Rose Queen of 2012?
Yes.
Queen Drew Helen Washington. All right. Welcome back to Conversations with Ralph Walker. I'm so glad that Mr. Craig Washington was able to stop by and stay in for a couple of minutes in this interview. And you may be asking, what interview? Who are you with today, Ralph? I'm with Queen Drew Helen Washington, Tournament of Roses, 2012 Queen.
Yes.
All right. Somehow I'm still hanging on to yesteryear. Any event, let me ask you a question. You have a very interesting name. Drew.
Yes.
Why Drew? What's the history of that name? What do the parents say when you ask that question? Why do you name me Drew?
I actually always ask that. But my mom actually has just always been really interested in unisex names. She has Sean in mind, Peyton, Drew, Sterling, and she had all these weird names. But one of my mom's good childhood friends, who's actually still one of her really good friends today, his name is Drew Edwards.
Okay.
And he had a brother, Blake Edwards, and they were very close, and our families were very close, and so she named me after him. Okay. So I'm actually named after a boy, which is why.
Only Drew girl in the family, and they had to.
Only girl.
And why couldn't Helen be first?
You know, I don't know. Helen is my middle name. It's my dad's mom's name. It's my grandmother's name. I don't think my mom liked Helen too much, so middle name it is.
All right. Now, to the viewers out there, you go to Flint Ridge Sacred Heart?
Yes, Flint Ridge Sacred Heart in La Cañada.
And you are a?
Senior.
A senior.
Yes.
And you're on the track and field?
I am. I'm on the varsity volleyball team and the varsity track and field team.
Are you good?
I'd like to say so. I'm captains of both teams. I'm captain of the volleyball team and the track and field team. I've been on the varsity volleyball team for 2 years now. I've been to CIF both years.
Oh, really?
Yes. And I've run track and field all 4 years. Been captain.
What events?
I'm primarily a 400 runner, but I also run the 100, 4x4.
What's your time in the 100?
In the 100?
Your best time.
My unofficial split, so it was in a 4x1, is an 11.9.
Okay.
But my actual hard mark split is a 12.3.
Oh, okay. All right. Yes. So, and volleyball?
Yes, volleyball. I've played volleyball since the 7th grade. Newfound sport. I've always played sports, but I've played volleyball since the 7th grade. I really liked it because I'm an only child, and I played tennis all my life. I was good at it, hated it, because when it was an individual sport, and I'm an only child, I was always by myself.
Okay.
So I really liked the whole aspect of team sports, and so when I played volleyball, I really found an interest in it because I had a team. I had 6 other girls on the court with me, all trying their hardest, all trying their best to win a game. And I'd been so used to doing everything by myself, it was really nice to have a team to do it with.
What's the biggest challenge being the only child?
Being an only child, I think the biggest challenge is maybe not having people to, not as many people to talk to at home, because I'm really close with my mother, I'm really close with my dad as well. And I think that that's been a really integral part in growing up as an only child, because you do have to be really close with your parents and able to talk with them and able to have fun with them. But I think it's also helped me a lot because I have a lot of friends. And as an only child, I've always been out of the house, always wanted to spend time with other friends. So I really make my friends my family. And I think that's really shaped me to be who I am today, because I'm really close with my friends and they've developed me as a person. They've developed my interest in sports. They've developed my interest in what I like to do on the weekends, running, liking to watch movies. They've been there all the time. So my friends have really become like my sisters.
So that's a good message for those out there that may be the only child. Yes. Join the sport, join the club. Now, in high school, you've taken Latin. Any particular reason? Latin? Why?
I actually wanted to take Spanish, just like about every other 8th grade student. But my dad said, you know, Latin, it's the root to all languages. It's going to help you with your SAT scores. It's going to help you with your vocabulary. And so that's why I took it as a freshman. I'm still taking it till this year. I'm in Honors Latin 4 now. Translating ancient Roman history, translating Ovid, translating Caesar, whole bunch of stuff. So it's a lot different than any other language because it is a dead language. So you can't say any type of modern day things.
But it's dead, but it's very much alive because the root word most of the time comes from a Latin origin.
Yes.
Or Greek.
Yes.
Maybe. All right. Any event, number 265. Why is that number special to the viewers that's just tuning in?
Well, number 265 is a special number. It was my tryout number that I was given to try out for the Tournament of Roses Royal Court. It was a really big number. There was about 1,000 girls who tried out. I've heard people who were number 8, number 3, and I'm 265. It stuck with me my entire tryout process because the tryout process for the Royal Court, it's a blind process. They don't know your name. They don't know what school you go to. They don't know your age. They only know your number. So is
that number assigned to you how they got the application in?
I'm actually not sure how the number is assigned to you. I'm pretty sure it's in the order that you come to audition or to try out.
Right.
So I was given that number, and it stuck with me the rest of the way. So I actually have a really funny story about number.
Sure.
Tryout or announcement day to be on the court. They announce you by your number. They say number 265. They say number this. So my best friend actually called me the night before and said, okay, I'm coming to the announcement. I'm making you a huge sign. What's your number? I said, my number's 265. And she asked me about three times. And I said, yes, 265. So when I made it onto the court, the news station sees a girl with this huge sign saying, number so-and-so is my best friend. And the news station came up to her and said, oh, so is Drew your friend? And she said, yeah. And they said, you know her number is 265, right? She said, yeah. The sign says, my best friend is number 256. I still have the sign till today. It's
my
huge.
God.
It's up in my room. It's huge, and it says, my best friend is number 256.
Somehow she, in her excitement and all that energy.
Yes.
All right, so you go through the first process, and you make it to round two.
Yes.
Okay, what you feeling about round two now?
Round two was a little bit longer than the initial tryout.
Less people. Down to?
250 girls.
250 girls.
From 1,000. So they cut quite a few.
Oh,
and
Lord.
It kind of got down to the nitty gritty.
Do you get nervous then?
I do.
Okay.
I do. It was a lot. It was a very different atmosphere. We moved inside of the tournament house. There's a panel of 12 judges.
How's the tournament house? Gorgeous place?
Absolutely gorgeous. It's phenomenal. It's
Which
huge.
Which is formerly the Wrigley Building?
Wrigley Mansion. Yes.
Right.
So we walk in and you're sitting in a room waiting to be called on. You get told to come at a certain time. You walk into a room, you stand in line, you're there.
Now,
you're
sitting with other girls?
Yes, when you're waiting. You're
sitting
with the
other girls. Now, what do you talk
about? Anything, you know? You just kind of talk about, oh, where do you go to school? What's your name?
Okay.
How was your tryout? What did you say the first time you tried out?
Okay.
Things like that. And then you get called into the room, and instead of just having 15 seconds to say what you want to say, they actually ask you questions. So I got asked about three questions my second tryout.
Do you call those questions?
I do. One of them was, if you could be on the cover of any magazine, what would it be?
Right.
And I actually can't remember the other one. And another one is, if I could be any famous person, who would it be?
If you could be any famous person, who would it be, Drew?
Who would it be?
Yeah.
Well, my answers changed a little bit.
After you won.
After my answers changed a little bit now.
Okay. Now, what was the original one?
I actually can't remember what I said. That's why it's changed a little
bit. Okay, well, now you changed it to who now? Who is it now?
If I could be any famous person going through history, going through everything, it would actually be, sounds cliche, it would actually be our Grand Marshal for this year, J.R. Martinez. He is such a phenomenal
person. I was going to get to and you jumped.
Where are you?
You
I'm sorry. I jumped. Okay, I'll be quiet.
Question number. I was wondering, did you interact with him? How was he as a person? You know, sometimes you can watch television and you can see a person this way, and then when you meet him, it's sort of like, this ain't like what I thought. How was he as an individual?
He was honestly one of the most remarkable people I've ever met.
Wow.
The way he lights up a room, he is so strong in everything that he believes in. He's a war veteran. He's done so much for his country.
Right.
And at only 19 years old, he was in a Humvee accident. His Humvee blew up, overturned, 60% of his body burned, over 36 surgeries.
Ooh.
And to see him today and how much he's grown and how he's handled his situation and the burning of his body and everything, within 30 seconds of talking to him, you won't even notice the burns are there.
Right.
He has such an electric...
Transcends the physical.
Yes.
You get to the spiritual side of him as a person.
Yes. He has such an amazing smile. He looks at you when he's speaking. He has so much to say and so much to deliver to the world. And he has so much about his story that's so intriguing and so interesting.
Now, some of the viewers out there might say, J.R. Martinez.
Yes.
Dancing with the Stars.
Dancing with the Stars. That too.
Okay. All right. You have to carry that, right?
Dancing with the Stars as well. Dancing with the Stars winner.
Now he was named... The Grand Marshal.
Yes.
Before he won.
Yes, he was. Yes,
which
he was.
Is sort of amazing, right?
It is. He wasn't named Grand Marshal because he was on Dancing with the Stars. It's more
about
what he's done before.
Right.
Being in the war, being a war veteran, and all the amazing things he had to overcome. I guess being on Dancing with the Stars is a big plus.
Propelled it a little bit.
Especially winning. That was an even bigger plus.
Yes.
Funny story. Actually, the first time I met him, I was just watching the night before Dancing with the Stars, and I never watched Dancing with the Stars. And they did a whole roll of his story and his background. And the next morning, the Grand Marshal is being revealed to us. And of course, it's a surprise, even to the court members and to everyone. It's a surprise until he's actually revealed. We met him, and he turned around, and I knew exactly who he was because I was just watching about him the night before. And I almost started to cry when I saw him because I cried at his story when I first saw it. And to meet him in person, I was so overwhelmed and so excited, and he's one of the best people I've ever met.
All right, good story, good caption on that. And I should point out to the viewers out there, Tournament of Roses theme for 2012 was?
Just Imagine.
Just Imagine.
Yes.
Which is beautiful in itself with all the people that were placed in the roll down Colorado and for the world to focus in on.
It was.
The Grand Marshal, yourself, and the history that you bring with that. Quite amazing. Quite amazing in a lot of ways. Let's get to be, we're talking about the excitement and all that, but before you even won and number 265, what was the other process when it got down to 35 people?
Yes, the process actually went from 1,000 girls to 250 to 75, then down to 35.
Ooh, that had to have been chilling.
Yes, it was. Getting down to the 35 girls and to be standing in a room and know.
So how did the stories change then every day? You're coming home and you're saying, I'm still alive.
Yes, getting more and more nervous every day I came home. My parents, my mom, and my dad, they were so encouraging.
So how do you focus on homework? And the school didn't stop and say, oh, Drew is going for the Tournament of Roses. We have no homework this week.
Yeah. No, school definitely didn't stop. College applications didn't stop either. I stayed focused. I stayed in tune with what I had to do. But it was always in the back of my mind. What if? What if? What if I actually make it? Because I never thought in a million years I would make it.
Going to sleep with that, just imagine.
Yes, just imagine.
Just imagine. And every girl had that same thought.
Yes, every girl.
But it's only 35 now.
35 now.
So you look around at everybody, and which royal court did you think you were going to have competition with? Stephanie, Cynthia, Morgan, Kimberly, Sarah, Hannah. Which one did you think was like, oh my God, this might be that moment that, oh, I got to get, which one?
The funny thing was, is I actually never saw any of the other girls throughout the entire tryout process that actually made it on the court, because we would come at different times we'd be on the other side of the room, so I actually never saw them. But once we were on the court, I remember being announced, and I looked at all these girls, and I said, wow, I'm in here for my money. I can't believe I'm picked amongst all these other girls, because
that's the number 35 group.
Yes. The number 35 group. Well, this was when we were first picked. But out of the 35, I was actually there with two of my other friends from Sacred Heart. We're in the final 35.
Okay.
So I kind of stuck close with them because we were both very nervous, and I felt comfortable with them sitting in the room. And we were just kind of talking about, what if? What are we going to do when we get out there? What are we going to say if you get picked? What are we going to say if you don't get picked? So we knew we had friends out there, family out there watching us. Whole bunch of news.
So what
stations.
Happens when you're number 35? What do they talk about? They have you in the room. What happens?
Well, we didn't really talk about much. Just small talk. Much small talk that you can do when you're all.
So what do the judges? What did the judges? What did they ask you?
Same questions, kind of that have been asked throughout the whole entire process. The questions really never change. It's just random questions, kind of things that you don't think about on a normal basis.
Such as, give me one.
Such as, if you could be on the cover of a magazine, what would it be? Or if you could be in any movie, what would it be? Things such
as. If you could be in any movie, what movie would you be in? Would you be the leading role or supporting?
You know, I've never really liked to act. Never really liked to be in the spotlight either.
But how many people turn in and watch the Tournament of Roses parade?
I know. I know. I had to get used to it. I had to get used to it. But I'd probably, of course, be a leading role only because that's kind of the excitement about the movie. It's kind of what the movie is about, is the leading role. It's, of course, it's about the supporting characters, too.
So how do you go from, I'm not really a spotlight person, to, okay, I'm going to be assertive and I'm going to step out there and it, all eyes are on me and I'm answering it. Where did you get this from? What did you tap into?
Yes. Well, it's actually really funny. I've always loved to public speak. Okay. I've always loved speaking to others and communicating with others. But I've never liked having my picture taken. Okay. I never liked being on camera. So it was a really big adjustment because the first day you're announced, you're taking pictures for about 2 hours, left and right and left and right. But what I kind of had to learn through myself was to have confidence, and that inner confidence that I kind of already had within me, just had to grow more. I had to develop it. I had to be sure of myself that this is what I'm here to do. I'm in the spotlight. I can't change that. So I kind of have to take advantage of it and learn everything that I can from it.
All right. Shrinks down. 35. Whew. Another day happens. Then what? What happens next? What was the next thing?
Well, out of that 35, we were actually all picked and we were all announced in front of everyone. We were announced in front of about 300 people. New stations and everything. So I guess we're standing on the steps now, standing on the Tournament of Roses house steps.
What a feeling.
Incredible. I was nervous the entire time. I was standing there. I was actually holding hands with the girls, two girls that were next to me, because they were both my really good friends.
Okay.
And we didn't say much because, we were on TV.
Right.
Shivering and waiting for our names to be called. And how they call is they say number or from your school. So they say from Flint Ridge Sacred Heart Academy, number 265.
So it's all the
then
heartbeat
they say your
is
name.
Waiting. Now, yes. as a little girl living in Pasadena, driving past the Tournament of Roses house, formerly known as the Wrigley Mansion, did you ever, in your wildest imagination, think you'd be standing on the steps waiting to be announced?
Never. I think it all came up too soon. I always knew I would try out. I always knew it was a thing that girls in Pasadena do, but never thought I would actually make it. Never thought I would actually be standing on those stairs with those other 35 girls waiting for my name to be called. So it was kind of a fantastic transformation to go from being the little girl driving by and watching the princesses be announced and watching who's going to be on the court this year, and then to being one of the girls who was waiting to see if her name was going to get called.
All right, so you go back to school. You know you're in the group of the 35 and all this here. What's the conversation at school?
Everyone's just kind of saying, good luck. You know, we really hope you make it. We're all coming to the announcement. There was posters and signs everywhere. So they were just kind of really excited. They wanted to know about the process. They wanted to know if I thought I was going to make it and how the other girls were as well.
All right. And then that big moment, that big day?
Yes. Biggest day of my life when I first got called.
Well, one of the biggest
days. One of the biggest days.
Okay, because mom would say when you were born, happy birthday.
Yes.
And dad would say, girl, yeah, I'm still happy. All right, this moment in your journey in life, how did they make the announcement?
When I was announced, I was actually second to last. I was third to last.
So they named the royal court.
Yes. So they named 5 other girls previous to me, and I was the 6th girl to be announced. And actually, like I said, they say your school first, so they say from Flint Ridge Sacred Heart Academy. There was 2 other girls from my school in the top 35.
So they were called before you?
No.
They were not called?
No, they weren't called. It's when you're all called out and they say who's going to be on the actual court. So they say Flint Ridge Sacred Heart Academy, and we all kind of pause because we know it could be 3 girls.
Right.
And when they said number 265, I looked at my number, and I said, oh, my gosh, that's me. And I hugged the girl next to me, and she was so excited. And I walked down shaking, didn't know what to do, just kind of walked down and stood there and smiled. But I think when I first got called, I said, wow, I did it. And then my second thought was, what did I just get myself into?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Stunned, huh?
Stunned. Completely stunned.
The story of number 265.
Yes.
Wow. It happened. We sang it real fast, but it was this journey.
It was. It was about a 4-week process.
Now to be chosen as a Tournament of Roses queen, you know you take on a lot of duties.
Yes.
What's the first duty day that you...
As queen?
Yes.
The first duty as queen was kind of... I think my first duty was to talk to the other girls about it. Because... Okay. Out of having 7 girls, and we had already been together for a week, and we had gotten so close, and then to announce one person as queen. And so I knew that I had a very close relationship with all the girls just from that week, and we had become great friends, and I didn't want anything to change. I didn't want them to think that I was necessarily superior to them, or that I felt that they were inferior to me, because it's not the type of person I am at all. So I talked with the other girls. I made sure that to let them know everything was the same. I'm not changing. They're not changing. Right. Our relationship is the same.
Did they accept it?
They did.
All 7?
They did.
That's different for women, I think.
No, it was great. We had such a great experience. And that was one of my main goals, is to keep track of that relationship that we already had. And so one of the qualities that I think is about being a leader is not only someone who can lead, not only someone who can take the reins, but someone who also knows when it's okay to follow. Because I don't have all the answers. Not every leader has all the answers.
That is the biggest challenge.
It is. It's the biggest challenge. And I think that's a lot about what I learned is being a leader. And, you know, applying for college, they always ask you, are you a good leader?
Yes.
What do you think leadership is? And what I've really learned from leadership is that a good leader isn't about what you accomplish on your own or what you accomplish to make a name for yourself, but it's about what you encourage others to accomplish.
Collectively.
Yes, and how you encourage others to succeed. I think that's what a good leader is.
Okay.
And so I think that was one of my first biggest duties, was really manning up kind of in a way and learning how to lead this group of six girls.
All right, let's back it up. Someone said, you didn't talk about getting dressed and picking out the outfit. Who picks out the dress for the coronation, for having the crown placed on you? What was that moment like?
Yes, well, our gowns are sponsored by Tadashi. So they're absolutely gorgeous, very nice gowns, and we love them. We actually don't get to pick the dresses. The tournament picks them for us, and they're revealed to us, and they're surprised. We're very surprised.
So you don't get to pick 1, 2, 3? No,
we don't get to pick.
This is what you're going to
wear. What it looks like. We don't get to pick the color, but every court doesn't have a problem with it because all of the gowns are gorgeous.
This is good.
Exactly. You can't complain.
And I'm the queen.
Yes.
Loving the moment.
Yeah, so you can't complain. But at coronation, it was actually one of my first times speaking in front of a group of about, I want to say 500 to 600 people at the Pasadena Convention Center. I had to say this huge, long speech.
Who wrote it?
And I did. We actually all write our own speeches.
Okay.
So we had to say this huge speech, and we were interviewed for the first time with that big group of people. So it was really nerve-wracking.
So what was the most important message in your speech? This is your first time. You're in the spotlight. All eyes are on you.
Well, I think within this, all of the speeches that I make, my biggest message is about being a role model for the community. Because as being on the Tournament of Roses, everyone thinks, oh, well, you're just riding down the parade on New Year's Day. Right. Or you're just getting dressed up in a pretty outfit. Right. But it's much more than that. We're role models of the community. We're representatives of the city of Pasadena. And I always talk about how that has an impact on my life. Because I had never seen myself, I'd always thought I was just a member of the community, but never could do anything within it, never could lead a group of people. So now, having this responsibility as being queen, I've really learned that it is possible to be an example to others. And what I feel the biggest group that I am a role model for is young children. Because when young children come up to us and they ask us, what's your favorite color? How's it like to be a queen?
Yes.
And it's an unexplainable feeling when you see a little girl who looks up to you.
Right.
When the other day you were just someone they may have just passed on the street.
Right.
So it was really nice to kind of have that impact on children's lives and people within the community, to send them a message to make their day better and to show them that the community is working together and that there's so much going on in the community and that it is possible to get involved, even as a 17-year-old.
All right. Now, I think you cover something like 150 community events.
You do. 150 community events between October and January.
And you still have to maintain your
school
average and homework.
Everything.
Now, college, you have one picked out yet? Or?
I don't. I actually finished applying. I applied to about 17 schools. So it's quite a lot.
Top three. What's the top three that you would love to get in?
I think my top three, NYU, USC, and Georgetown.
Oh, wow.
Probably.
What do you plan to pursue in college?
I've been applying to communication colleges or communication schools within colleges.
Okay.
I plan to study marketing, media marketing, and public relations. I want to go to the entertainment industry as I grow older.
Lord have mercy. Okay. Very competitive field.
It is. A very competitive
field. Very vicious, too.
Yes, very vicious. But sticking behind the scenes.
Okay. Strictly behind the scenes.
Yes.
Of all the places that you visit so far, which is one that sort of really touched your heart? That left a little mark there. Think you're going to Children's Hospital?
We have. We've been to a number of hospitals, actually. We've been to Children's Hospital of L.A., Norris Cancer Center, and Norris Hospital at USC.
Wow.
We've been to City of Hope in DeWardy, and we've also been to Huntington Hospital. So going to all of those different hospitals, we've seen different types of people, different types of patients. And walking in, I really realize we are touching their day. Mm-hmm. We may have been the only people that they have seen that day.
Right.
We may have been the only people other than doctors that they've seen in a week.
Yes.
So it was really nice to make that impact on people and to kind of bring the community to them, because some of them weren't able to go out into their own communities. So it was really nice to have that impact and see the children at Children of LA or see the cancer patients at City of Hope at DeWardy. It was really nice and a satisfying feeling. And I think those were some of the best events that we could have gone to.
So becoming the tournament queen of 2012, what is the biggest thing that you lost now?
That I've lost?
Yeah.
I have lost a few things because it's a huge time commitment.
Right.
So playing volleyball and being varsity captain this year, volleyball season falls in the fall, which is September through November, kind of August as well, which is right when we were picked for Royal Court.
Okay.
And it was when all the time was coming, all the pressure was coming, and I wasn't able to go to practices anymore. So
how
did
your teammates feel? How did your teammates feel about that?
It was a challenge. Being captain, there was also two other co-captains as well, and I could sense that they were kind of feeling left down because I had been a very integral part in the team. I was a starting outside hitter, and it kind of felt like I was letting them down, and I felt like that too because I love volleyball and I love my team. But what I made known to them was that I wasn't leaving them and that I was still their captain. I was still there to support them. Although I couldn't go to practice, because I couldn't go to practice, I should say, I wasn't able to play. It wouldn't have been fair to the other girls.
Right.
But I made it to every game. I was there at every game. I sat on the bench. I cheered as loud as I could.
Okay.
So I was there every game because that was my team. That was my family before Rose Court.
So it was something good came out of that because someone else got to play.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And how did they do?
They did great. My team did phenomenal. They had an amazing season. We had other great outside hitters in line, so I was fully confident that the team would be just fine without me. So
that's beautiful, beautiful. What was your favorite float?
My favorite float?
Yes.
What I really liked, we had an Xbox Kinect float on the parade, and there were people jumping on the float, off the float. And I never got to see it go down the actual parade route because I was on my own float.
Yes, yes, yes.
But, and I saw it in the program. And in the program, it describes what's going to happen with the float. And they were saying people were going to be dancing. There would be music. They'd be jumping on the float, jumping off the float. I thought that would be so cool to see. So I never got to see it. But watching back the parade, I actually saw it on TV for a split second. And that was a really, really exciting float that we had this year, amongst many others.
Mm-mm. Amazing. What has been the most complex question someone have asked you since you've been queen, since you've been crowned queen?
The most complex question.
Right.
It actually came from a 6-year-old girl.
It figures.
Who asked me my most complex question, and she said, "Why are you queen?" She said, "Why did they pick you?" And that was a pretty difficult question to answer. And you know, I still don't really have a clear cut answer till this day. I don't know why I was picked out of six other girls, because they all were capable of doing it. We're all amazing, talented young women. But I think because I had been captain of sports teams before, I'd been captain of the volleyball team, captain of the track and field team, I had leadership roles throughout my school, I had leadership experience already. I knew how to work with a group of people. I knew how to lead a group of people in the right direction, I guess I would say. So when I got with the girls, I kind of knew what it meant to keep a group together, because that's the most important part about having a working unit.
Right.
If you have a broken unit, you can't do anything.
That's right.
So I think I tried that already. I knew we were going to be on this experience for 3 months, even longer than that, 150 events. And I knew we had to get along. We had to be a unit and we had to work together. So that was one of my main goals. And because of the leadership experience I had and because I knew how to keep a group of girls together, I could only say maybe that's what they may have seen in me.
Was she happy with that answer?
Yes.
Okay.
She was okay. 6-year-old girl, so I put it into simpler terms.
All right. Now, we all know when you're the queen, everyone knows you're the queen because you have a crown upon your head. What happens with the crown? What is the name? It had a name, right?
Yes. Our crowns are provided by Mikimoto.
Mikimoto crown. Okay.
Yes. So
do they provide it every year, or this was their year?
He was one of our main sponsors. Mikimoto has been a sponsor for a number of years throughout the Tournament of Roses, so.
All right, so what happens to that crown? For those inquiring minds
would love. Well, I do not get to keep it. I wish I could, but I don't get to keep it.
Six carats of diamonds and 600 pearls.
Yes.
Is it heavy?
It's very heavy, and it's a big burden to have on your head when you know you have all of that expensive things on your head. But it was very heavy, but I felt like a true queen or a true princess or a true royal court member when I was wearing it. So.
What? It's probably symbolic of the job and the role that you have. It's not a light thing. It's a very heavy thing that you carry, right?
It is. The crown's very heavy, just like the job.
Just like the role.
Just like the role.
All right. As the time ticks down, tell us something about Tournament of Roses president, Richard Jackson.
Yes.
Tell me something about him.
President Jackson. He's actually one of President Jackson and his wife, Mrs. Jackson, two of the greatest people I've ever met. They're very funny, very alive, and the theme that they picked for this year, Just Imagine, truly kind of embodies who they are as people, too. Because whenever they're talking to us, they're always encouraging us, you know, just imagine what you can do in the future, or take full advantage of the opportunity that you've been given. Just imagine what this opportunity can open up to you for the rest of your life. And there are people who are truly worried about the accomplishment of others, not their own success.
Right.
And they care for others, they care for their community, and they care so much for the Tournament of Roses as well. So they've been fantastic people, and they've donated so much of their time. And I think that's kind of the best qualities that they have, because they're so kind-hearted, they're so gentle, they're so warm, and they're friendly. And Mrs. Jackson will make you laugh at anything she says.
All right, now, all the people that you met, will you stay in contact, or when it ends, it just drifts away and you go into the history books and that's it, or what?
Absolutely not. I will keep in contact with every person I have met throughout the tournament. We've really become sort of a family. The girls, of course, become a family, but you become really well acquainted with all of the other tournament members as well, because you're with them all the time and they're at the events. So it is really kind of like a huge family, and it's not something you can just throw away once you're done.
Right.
I keep in contact with everyone. I keep in contact with the committee members, with the tournament members as well. And, of course, we'll come back for reunions to have with the court and with the members and with our president as well. So many, many years to come of keeping in contact.
All right. Thank you so much for making it here.
Thank you.
Queen Drew Helen Washington, 2012 Tournament of Roses Queen. I want you to look at that camera out there and tell one of those little girls out there that's imagining right now that one day they could be queen.
Well, for all of you little girls out there, I would just like to say, reach for the stars and never let anyone tell you that you can, because you don't know what's possible for you and you don't know what your full potential is until you actually go out there and try and do something, try to make an impact. So always reach for the stars and never let anyone tell you no.
All right. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Again, and in your journey in life, we wish you well.
Thank you very much.